Imagine having, just this insane discipline to run long distances in 50 degrees Celsius heat.
Yeah, that is intense.
Right. And consuming these massive, highly calculated amounts of raw plants, optimizing your sleep down to the minute, and then looking someone dead in the eye and admitting, I have absolutely zero willpower.
I mean, it sounds like a joke, right? But
Sure.
that paradox is literally the foundation of the lifestyle we're unpacking today. It completely shatters this illusion that peak physical condition requires you to be some kind of unfeeling robot.
Which is incredibly refreshing. So, welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to unpack this fascinating article titled Puru's Nutrition for Superhuman Performance, written by Puru himself. Now, Puru approaches food in a way that, well, most of modern society has completely forgotten about. He doesn't look at a plate and see, empty calories that you have to just burn off on a treadmill later.
Right, definitely not.
He sees literal medicine. He sees the microscopic building blocks that you need for a long, highly functional health span.
And we should probably clarify that right away. You know, health span versus lifespan.
Oh, for sure.
Because lifespan is just like how many years your heart keeps beating. But health span is how many of those years are actually lived at peak capacity,
Wow.
free from chronic disease, joint pain, cognitive decline. Puru was playing the long game for health span, and he's doing it without relying on magic pills or, expensive peptide injections or just starving himself into misery.
But the natural reaction when you see someone operating at that level, I mean, running in extreme Indian summers, maintaining razor-sharp focus, is to just put them on a pedestal.
Exactly.
We look at Puru and think, well, the guy is just built different. He won the genetic lottery.
And he actually hates that assumption.
He does. In his writing, he poses this wonderfully blunt question to his readers. He asks, "Who died and made me Superman?"
I love that quote.
Yeah.
He fundamentally rejects the whole genetic excuse because honestly, it is so easy and frankly, so comforting to look at a high performer and just chalk it up to their DNA.
Right, because if it's just genetics, then you and I are off the hook.
Exactly. We don't have to try. But Puru introduces this concept he calls genetic potential fitness, or GPF.
Let's break down GPF, because it's not saying that genetics don't matter at all,
No,
right?
genetics absolutely provide the blueprint. They set your absolute upper and lower boundaries.
Yeah.
But Puru argues that almost no one is anywhere near their upper boundary.
Wow, yeah.
Reaching your genetic potential fitness requires extreme, relentless agency. It's the culmination of like thousands of microscopic lifestyle choices you make every single day.
Let me try to visualize this for you. Instead of the usual, I don't know, hardware versus software analogy, let's think about this in terms of an elite Formula One race car.
Okay, I like that.
Your genetics. That's just the chassis and the engine block you get handed by the factory. But your GPF, your actual performance on the track, that comes down to everything else. It's the purity of the fuel you put in, the microscopic adjustments to the tires, the aerodynamics, the skill of the pit crew. You could be handed a multi-million-dollar Ferrari engine, but if you put cheap sludge in the tank and never change the oil.
A well-maintained Honda Civic is going to lap you. That
Exactly.
captures the mechanics of it perfectly, actually, because it's all about friction. When you put sludge in an engine, you create friction, heat, and eventual breakdown. And biological systems operate the exact same way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And this leads to Puru's massive reality check regarding how modern society approaches health. He is fiercely critical of what he calls big food and big pharma.
Because their entire business model relies on selling you the sludge.
And then selling you a chemical fix for the breakdown.
They profit off the friction.
Precisely. I mean, the medical and food industries thrive when you just passively wait for a wonder drug or some magical supplement to fix your lethargy or your blood pressure. But Puru's thesis is that true near superhuman performance, reaching that GPF, it cannot be bought in a bottle. It only comes from a highly customized, ruthlessly consistent combination of real foods, specific physical stressors, and optimized recovery.
Which puts the steering wheel entirely in your hands. It's empowering, but let's be honest, it's also incredibly intimidating.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if I can't just take a multivitamin and call it a day, what is the actual foundational fuel for this F1 engine? And Puru poses this really fascinating thought experiment in the article.
The desert island one.
Yes. If you were stranded on a desert island and forced to eat only one narrow food group every single day for the rest of your life, what should you choose?
And the answer throws a lot of modern diet culture right out the window. It isn't grass-fed steak. It isn't whey protein, it's green leaves.
I mean, I enjoy a good spinach salad, but surviving only on green leaves, biologically, how does that even work?
It comes down to the sheer math of cellular biology.
Right.
When you measure nutritional value, green leaves offer the absolute highest density of micronutrients.
Like vitamins and minerals?
Yeah, vitamins, minerals, and specifically the phytochemicals for the fewest number of calories.
And phytochemicals are what exactly?
They're basically the chemical armor that plants develop to survive harsh environments, pests, and radiation. When we consume them, they act as critical signaling molecules in our own bodies. They trigger our cells to repair themselves and reduce inflammation.
So it's like getting the maximum biological return on investment.
Yes, exactly. And if you look at the epidemiological data, a diet rich in green leaves is the single most reliable common denominator among global populations that boast the longest health spans.
But you know, Piru isn't on a desert island.
No, he's not.
He's living in the modern world, which means his daily plate is wildly more complex than just a pile of lettuce. His actual mantra is diversity is king.
Diversity is king, yeah.
And when you look at the list of what he eats in a single day, the volume is staggering. We are talking about nuts, seeds, legumes, fruits, berries, flowers, fungi, algae, and just a massive variety of fresh herbs and spices.
And crucially, he's eating the whole plant matrix.
Let's pause there, because plant matrix sounds like a sci-fi term.
It does sound a bit sci-fi.
He makes a huge point about not just throwing everything into a blender and drinking these pulverized green smoothies. Why does the matrix matter so much?
It matters because human anatomy evolved over millions of years to bite, chew, and process complex structures.
Right.
When you eat an apple whole, the sugar is trapped inside a complex web of fiber. That's the matrix.
Okay.
And as it moves through your GI tract, that fiber literally coats your intestinal wall and slows down the absorption of glucose into your bloodstream. Plus, it feeds the microscopic bacteria in your gut.
So what happens when you blend it?
When you pulverize that apple in a high-speed blender, you completely destroy the matrix. You get a massive, immediate spike in blood sugar, and your gut bacteria miss out on the structural fiber they need to thrive.
Wow.
That's why Piru eats the stalks, the stems, the skins, and the seeds, because that structural friction is totally necessary for human digestion.
I see the logic there, but here is where I have to step in and push back on behalf of anyone listening who enjoys, you know, a normal dinner.
Fair enough.
This is an extremely rigorous plant-based focus. Why the absolute zero tolerance policy for animal products? I mean, is a piece of grilled chicken or a little bit of Greek yogurt really going to destroy the F1 engine?
It's probably the most common point of friction people have with his philosophy, but his reasoning isn't just some moral stance. It is deeply rooted in performance mechanics and risk mitigation.
Okay, how so?
Piru argues that consuming animal products introduces unnecessary biological friction. We're talking about bioaccumulation here.
Bioaccumulation.
Yeah, so animals eat plants, they process them, and in modern farming, they accumulate heavy metals, routine antibiotics, stress hormones, and dangerous bacteria.
Oh, I see.
When you eat the animal, you consume all of that accumulated baggage.
And he also explicitly links animal protein to systemic inflammation and cancer risk, doesn't he?
He does. And mechanically, this happens because animal proteins have a very high concentration of certain amino acids that constantly signal the body's cells to grow and divide.
And that's bad.
Well, if you keep hitting that grow button day after day, year after year, you significantly increase the risk of cellular mutations, which is essentially what cancer is. By avoiding animal products, he is actively trying to keep the grow signal quiet when it just doesn't need to be on.
Okay, I understand the mechanics of it in like a controlled environment, but how on earth does someone navigate the real world like this? I mean, Piru spends time in Goa, India, which is legendary for its seafood and heavy, rich, cream-based curries.
Oh yeah, the food there is amazing, but heavy.
Right. If I were traveling there on this protocol, I would feel paralyzed. I'd probably just sit in the corner drinking tap water. How does he assert that level of agency without just alienating everyone around him?
This is where his philosophy becomes deeply actionable for you, the listener. He doesn't just stay home in a bubble. He goes to a beach restaurant in Goa. But he completely shifts the dynamic from passive consumer to active architect of his meal.
Okay.
Instead of looking at the menu and agonizing over the least bad option, he custom orders a vegan zucchini.
A vegan zucchini?
Yeah, no. Zucchini is a traditional rich dish usually built around chicken or lamb. He explicitly directs the chef to substitute the meat with spinach.
Wow.
He also orders a garlic spinach dish called lasuni palak, but he issues a strict, non-negotiable no-cream rule.
I love this because he is building a relationship with the kitchen rather than just being a difficult customer. The restaurant staff actually knows him, and they expect this hyper-specific off-menu vegan order when he arrives.
Exactly.
It's a great reminder that you can actually ask for what you want. You don't have to apologize for protecting your health.
You control the variables. You dictate the fuel going into the engine.
So we've established what he eats, this massive volume and sheer diversity of raw, whole plants. But eating that much fiber and volume requires a serious logistical strategy.
Oh, absolutely.
You simply cannot graze on a mountain of raw stems, seeds, and fungi all day and have time or energy to do anything else. Your jaw would get tired, for one.
Yeah, it literally would.
Which brings us to the mechanics of when he eats.
And the when is just as vital as the what. Mm. This introduces his concept of time-optimized feeding, or TOF.
Now, everyone and their mother has tried some form of intermittent fasting. It's a massive trend. But for Piru, TOF isn't just a 30-day challenge. He refers to himself as a ekahari, a Sanskrit term for someone who eats only one meal a day. He jokingly calls it his brunch nanner.
Brunch nanner, yeah. But we really need to distinguish TOF from the generic intermittent fasting you see on social media.
Okay, what's the difference?
TOF isn't just drawing a circle around an 8-hour window and eating whatever you want. It is a highly precise biological synchronization. It involves the exact time of day, how that feeding window aligns with his circadian rhythm, and most importantly, the specific order that food enters his gastrointestinal tract.
Wait, the order of operations matters.
Tremendously. Think about the gut lining. If you break a 24-hour fast by immediately dumping heavy calorie-dense fats into your stomach, it shocks the system.
Oh, that makes sense.
Piru sequences his intake. Hydration first, then raw, water-rich fibers to gently wake up the digestive enzymes and physically line the gut. Only after the system is prepped does he introduce the heavier, calorie-dense foods. It's a completely orchestrated sequence.
That makes total sense. You wouldn't throw a giant log onto a tiny spark. You build the fire with kindling first.
Perfect analogy.
But what is actually happening in the body when he's not eating? Why go through the trouble of eating only once a day?
It comes down to two competing metabolic pathways. Autophagy and MTOR. You can think of autophagy as your body's cellular Roomba.
A cellular Roomba?
Yeah, like the little robot vacuum. When you are in a deep fasted state, your body senses a lack of incoming nutrients, so it starts scavenging. It cleans out dead, damaged, and mutated cells, recycling them for energy. This is the ultimate anti-aging mechanism.
And the other pathway?
That's MTOR. That's the construction crew. When you eat especially protein, MTOR is activated, telling your cells to grow and build.
Okay.
Here's the critical insight. You cannot have the cellular Roomba and the construction crew working at the same time. If you graze from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., you are constantly in MPOR mode.
You're always building.
You're constantly building and never cleaning. Piru's one meal a day ensures he gets a massive, dedicated window of deep cellular cleaning, followed by a condensed, highly efficient window of building and refueling.
But let's talk about that refueling window. He is running in intense heat, he's strength training, he's highly active. How does he physically fit enough calories into a single meal? He openly admits he has a, quote, scarily large appetite.
This is where he balances volume and density. It's a brilliant biological hack. Because he is eating only once a day, he starts with low-calorie density foods.
Like the green leaves.
Massive amounts of those green leaves, raw vegetables, and fruits. These are packed with water and fiber. They physically stretch the stomach receptors, which sends a powerful satiety signal to the brain.
So he feels full.
He gets the feeling of being completely, overwhelmingly full, while absorbing a massive payload of micronutrients.
But lettuce won't fuel a 10-kilometer run.
Exactly.
Right.
So to hit his high-calorie and high-energy needs, he layers in nutrient-dense, calorie-dense plant foods. Huge portions of nuts, seeds, and legumes.
But this brings up the loudest objection in the modern wellness world. I can hear the fitness influencers yelling at us right now. What about the protein?
Always the protein.
The prevailing dogma is that if you want to build muscle and be a high performer, you need massive scoops of whey protein isolate and chicken breasts every 2 hours.
It is the defining obsession of modern fitness. But Piru flips the script completely. He has developed a mindset he specifically calls purinoia.
Purinoia. Like paranoia, but productive.
Exactly. Paranoia paralyzes you. Purinoia prepares you. It's a hypervigilant but empowering awareness. He applies purinoia to ensure he gets adequate plant protein from his nuts, seeds, and legumes to repair his muscles after a workout.
Just adequate.
Yes. He categorically rejects the obsession with maximizing protein intake.
Because of that MTOR pathway we just talked about.
Yes. The body is incredibly efficient at recycling its own amino acids during that autophagy phase. If you are constantly flooding the system with excess protein, especially animal protein, you are keeping that MTOR growth switch permanently locked in the on position.
Right, and the runaway growth is bad.
Runaway, unchecked cellular growth is a primary driver of aging and cancer. He's paranoid about avoiding that excess friction. He trusts that a massive diversity of plants will provide exactly what the engine needs without leaving dangerous exhaust behind.
Okay, so he's hypervigilant about plant diversity. He's incredibly strict about the sequence of time-optimized feeding. He's paranoid about avoiding animal protein. I mean, it sounds like he must be stressed out constantly.
I think so, right.
But here is the fascinating twist. There is a whole list of mainstream health trends that cause everyday people massive amounts of anxiety, which Puru completely unapologetically ignores.
This is perhaps the most liberating part of his philosophy for the listener. Because he has engineered the massive foundational rocks of his health, he doesn't waste an ounce of mental energy sweating the pebbles.
Let's dig into his do not worry list. Let's start with calories. The fitness world is obsessed with tracking macros and weighing every ounce of food. Puro doesn't count calories at all.
Think about the mental friction that calorie counting creates. It turns every single meal into a math test.
Oh, absolutely.
But mechanically, your body doesn't operate on a spreadsheet. Because Puru's extreme physical activity level is paired with a single-time optimized feeding window consisting of fibrous, whole plants, his biology naturally regulates his intake.
It's hard to overeat broccoli.
It is physically incredibly difficult to overconsume calories when you are eating a giant matrix of fiber. He focuses entirely on the quality and diversity of the fuel, trusting his biological satiety signals to do the math for him.
The stretch receptors in the stomach do the counting, not an app on his phone.
Exactly.
Okay, here is another one that might shock people. Organic labels. We are conditioned to implicitly trust that little green organic sticker and pay a premium for it. Puru is highly skeptical.
And for good reason. An organic sticker doesn't grant a food immunity from the laws of physics.
What do you mean?
If an organic bell pepper is grown in nutrient-depleted soil and then sits on a truck for 3 weeks before it reaches your supermarket, its phytochemical profile is going to be severely degraded.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, large-scale organic farming sometimes relies on organic pesticides that can be just as problematic as conventional ones. Puru cares infinitely more about produce being fresh, locally sourced, and meticulously washed than he does about a marketing label.
It's about looking at the reality of the food, not the branding.
Yes.
Now, even with this do not worry list, the reality of the Ikuhari single meal, the massive volume of chewing, the intense workouts, the paranoia, it sounds like it requires superhuman willpower. Which brings us back to our opening paradox.
The zero willpower.
How do you do all of this when you openly admit that your willpower is terrible?
This is the absolute turning point of his entire framework. He writes, with total transparency, that if a plate of hot French fries is put on the table in front of him, they will not last long enough to get cold.
Really?
He jokes that he will keep them warm inside his belly.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Oh, completely. If a waiter brings a complimentary plate of biscuits with his black coffee, he knows he will eat every single one of them. He doesn't pretend to be immune to junk food.
So what does he do?
His grand secret is that he simply refuses to rely on willpower. Willpower is a battery that drains every time you have to make a decision.
So if he doesn't use willpower, what is the mechanism that keeps him consistent?
Environmental architecture.
Environmental architecture.
He relies entirely on curating his physical environment and establishing non-religious rituals, as he calls them. He simply designs his life so that he is never, ever tempted by things that create biological friction.
The French fries are never brought into his house. The biscuits are never purchased.
Exactly. You don't need an ounce of willpower to resist eating a cookie that does not exist in your pantry.
That is so true.
If you want to eat a diverse plant-based diet, you make sure your kitchen is overflowing with visible, prepped, easily accessible fruits, nuts, and vegetables. He structures his daily routine so that making the healthy choice isn't actually a choice at all. It's just the automatic default of his environment.
So if we pull all the way back and look at the whole picture, what is the grand synthesis here? What is the core insight you, the listener, need to take away from Pura's masterclass?
Superhuman performance, or reaching your absolute genetic potential fitness, is not about punishing yourself. It's not about finding a magical powder to sprinkle on your food. And it certainly isn't about staring down a plate of donuts and trying to flex your willpower muscle until you crack.
It's about removing the friction.
Yes, it's removing the friction of animal products. It's honoring the biological matrix of plants rather than pulverizing them. It's leveraging the profound cleaning power of autophagy through time-optimized feeding.
Right.
But above all else, it's about becoming a consistency conqueror by engineering an environment where you literally do not have the option to fail.
And to prove that this isn't just theory, there's one final staggering detail about Puru's life in the article. He doesn't just talk about consistency. He has kept a granular, highly detailed log of every single thing he has consumed for 3,805 consecutive days.
Over 10 years. Every single day. And he notes that the people he mentors experience life-changing biological shifts just from the simple act of logging their own intake with that kind of radical, unflinching honesty. Data removes denial.
3,805 days of flawless data. It's an incredible testament to the power of environmental design.
It really is.
So I want to leave you, the listener, with this final provocative thought. Think about your own kitchen right now. Think about the friction in your daily routine. If you were forced to log every single bite of food, every single snack, and every single drink you consumed for the next 3,805 days, what story would that mountain of data tell about the future version of your body?
That's a heavy question.
Are you unconsciously feeding an engine full of sludge? Or are you actively engineering an environment that guarantees superhuman performance? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Puru's Nutrition for Superhuman Performance. Take a hard look at your environment today and ask yourself, what can you remove right now so that you don't have to rely on willpower tomorrow?